views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you take charge of your life experience so that you can create a life you love, feel great about yourself, and put your best foot forward most days. Continuing with our Mother's Day marathon for the month of May, I have a guest today that I believe will help to anchor us all back in reality and have fun in the process. Betsy Chassie is an award-winning filmmaker. You might know some of her films like What the Bleep Do We Know, Song of the New Earth, Pregnant in America, and The Empty Womb. She's also the best-selling author of Tipping Sacred Cows, Dancing in the Unknown, and the one that I'm reading at the moment and thoroughly enjoying, It Came Out of My Vagina, Now What? So when I first started creeping Betsy to see if she'd be a good fit for the show, it's not that I'm truly a creeper, I went to her site and I found myself thoroughly enjoying the experience. She's funny, she's real, and she's totally willing to use her own experiences as proof that none of us are meant to be perfect. Today, Betsy's here to talk about giving yourself permission to say no, permission to sleep in, and to ask for help and still feel empowered. Sounds like a real gift, doesn't it? Betsy, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm very excited to have you here with us today. So let's dive right into this notion that so many of us seem to experience. And that's this sense that we as moms need to show no weakness, never need help, you know, be able to do it all. So why is it that moms feel this need to have it all together?
Well, I mean, I think it's a cultural thing to start with. I mean, think about how much information we're bombarded with, you know, look at, you know, on TV, on commercials and ads, at school. I mean, it's everywhere, this ideal of perfect super mom having it all. And think about your own mom, you know, and her sort of need to have it together. I mean, my mom had six kids. Bless that woman's soul. I don't even know how she managed six children. I could barely manage two children, right? So yeah. And then we think about her mom. So we've got, like, it's in our DNA. And then it's bombarded, we're bombarded with these, you know, imagery. And then it's like keeping up with life, you know. Now most households have, you know, if you're not a single mom, or it's a two-income household, so it's like life is like, it's more expensive. So there's just a lot more happening, and so you want to keep up, and you want to be, you know, you want to be in the community, and you want to be part of everything, and it's just really perpetuated mostly from our genetics and from our culture.
Yes. I think the culture is a huge part of it. I know I talk often about that whole idea of feeling like you're either right or you're wrong. You know, that school kind of teaches us there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And so there's that whole judgment thing, right? Mm. And we do it to ourselves. We do it to other women as well. Mm. But it's something that we're taught from a very young age to notice what you're doing and judge it.
And, well, that's, you know, the whole concept of judgment is not just with women, it's with humans.
Yes.
It's part of how our brains work. So mm-hmm. we have this, what happens in your brain, I'm a I'm going to nerd out a little bit for you, because I found it so empowering when I actually started to understand like how my computer and my head worked, because then I could actually really, all this cool talk that we're going to talk about, once I understood how to program the system, and I could actually do something with it. It wasn't just intellectual information that was like, gee, that sounds great, but I don't know how to do it. So what happens is that in your brain, what happens is your brain attaches meaning. When it sees something, it gives it a meaning. It gives it color, gives it shape, gives it smell, gives it taste, whatever it is. And it gives it a meaning. I like this. I don't like this. It's pretty like general, right?
Right.
And so that's where judgment comes from. So we just start programming our brain with judgments. I like that. I don't like this. I like that. I don't like this. I like that. I don't like this. And then that's how we start operating in the world. So this, because our brains work that way, judgment is such a sort of like natural thing to do. And then what happens, it becomes so unconscious that we don't even know half the time that we're making judgments about a gazillion things every second.
Right.
And so that is a human problem, because then what happens is we start judging ourselves, because society says if you're not a size 2, you're not sexy. So now I'm going to judge myself because I'm not sexy. Society tells me, you know, you're a terrible mom if your kids eat, you know, Lunchables. So now it's like, or whatever it is. So we're constantly being bombarded with judgment, and we're putting out judgment. And that's a big thing to even get, like, just become, get some awareness around for yourself, how often you judge. Because even just having that awareness is a huge sigh of relief, because you can sort of slow that down a little bit.
Yes. Yes, I love it. I have this sisterhood for Vibrant Powerful Moms, and that's one of the first things that we talk about is judgment and how to become aware of it, because you're absolutely right. We do it subconsciously, and it affects everything, all of our relationships, how good we feel about something, you know, and just everything is affected by it. So love that. Thanks for sharing that. So I love how in your book, It Came Out of My Vagina, Now What, you and your co-writer, Debbie, talk about the helpful visitors that come right after you have a baby, specifically those ones that stay, like your mom and your mother-in-law, or your mother-in-law, hopefully. And what I really love is the advice that you give about being clear on what you need and what you don't need, and then communicating those. Because I think that this ties in really nice with what we promised in the intro, which is that you're going to give us, you know, permission to say no. So
right.
Can we talk about that a little bit more? How do we say
yes? Yeah. How do we say yes? Well, think of yes and no as sort of like a commodity. Right. And it's energy, really. And you have a certain amount of energy for, excuse me, you have a certain amount of energy for your life. And it's amazing to me that most of us, especially women, it takes until like our 40s before we go, wait a minute, I can actually just say no to this person. Like it's so funny. And, you know, think of it like this, how often, you know, were you as a child, or did you say to your kids, give Auntie Joan a hug? Mm-hmm. And the kid said, I don't want to give Auntie Joan a hug. I don't feel like it. And we said, no, you have to. So again, it's pre-programming. We have been pre-programmed that if we say no, we're not being nice. If we say no, we're not being helpful. If we say no, we're not being whatever. We're not doing or being or whatever we're supposed to be doing. We're not doing it because we're saying no.
Right.
And when you can start to, for me, you know, getting to know myself and getting to know my values, what was important to me, what I wanted, and then being able to say, you know what, I'm allowed to have what I want. And if what I want requires me to say no to somebody else, I'm not being, as long as I'm not mean about it, you know, if right. I do it with compassion and respect, then that's okay. And that's really where the problem with no's is. It's hard to say no because we're afraid we're going to hurt someone's feelings, or we don't believe that we deserve what we want. And once you start to get really clear on those things, what is it that I want? Why do I want it? What is it going to give me, or what does it mean to me? Then you can get real clear on, oh, this is what I want, why I want it, and what it means to me. And in order for me to have that, I have to say no to this other person then that becomes really easy. And you can do it without the guilt of letting them down.
Yes. Yes. And I think that that is such a big piece for us, because where we are good at saying no is with our kids, right? No, no, no. And I actually, in my family booster shots, I have this game, a card that says the no-no game, because it's about helping people become aware of when they're saying no with their kids, because that's where we use it the most.
Right.
And so there we want to try to practice other things like, well, convince me, yes, later, you know, maybe give me some time to think about it. These kinds of things instead of right away saying no.
Well, but, and can I just interrupt you for one second?
Absolutely.
I have a little bit that I do with my kids. I ask them, why do you want it? Why is it important to you? So I ask them the same questions that I ask myself, because what I've also found is, like, most of the time, you know, like, my kid loves to play video games, you know, and so he just got a headset yesterday and he was all excited and he wanted to buy this, like, outfit that was in the game. And right. I said to him, I said, well, is the outfit going to make you play better? And he's like, no, I'll just look cooler. I said, so, you know, it's your money, spend it how you want, but get clear about why you're spending this money and what value it is to you, so that you're not just out there, you know, running again, just energy, wasting energy because you think somehow it's cool. But when you really think about it, it's like, you know, it's actually not that important to me. What's more important to me is I want to save up money. He wants a bow and arrow. And okay. I said, so what's more important to you? Spending $5 on this thing that's really kind of useless and meaningless, or waiting and putting that $5 towards your bow? So it's all about, where are you putting your value? So I always ask my kids those same questions when they ask me something. I'm like, well, what does it mean to you? What is the value of it? Why do you want it? And I think if we have those conversations with ourselves and we get really honest and clear, most of the time, it's easy to say yes. It's easy to say no. It's easy to ask for help. It's easy to do these things because we have so much more clarity than if we just sort of didn't take the time to really contemplate those questions.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I mean, it is all about becoming aware. Why? Even why am I saying yes? Because sometimes you are saying yes because you feel guilty or you're too embarrassed to say no, or you feel like you're putting them on the spot. So
right.
I love that. It is all about awareness. And I think that self-awareness is the greatest gift you can give yourself. To me, that's the start of awakening.
Right. And a lot of people go, well, how do I do that? Like, what does it mean? I'm self-aware of myself. I look at myself in the mirror. And so that's why I have these simple questions. What is the value of this to me? Why do I want this? Like, I did this talk one time, and vision boards are super popular, right? Everybody's making vision boards.
Right.
And you see people, and they'll put like a big house on the vision board and a fancy car on the vision board, and they've got this whole gorgeous life. And then they sit there with it and they get frustrated because they're not getting it. Mm-hmm. And I say to people, so why do you want that big house? What does that big house represent to you? Oh, stability, success, whatever those words are. And then ask yourself, so if it's stability and success, okay, how do you already have that in your life? Yes or no? So, okay, yes, then why do you need the big house? So you can sort of let go of these external attachments to the way things have to be, because that's another big problem, is that we get attached to the way things are supposed to look, and therefore we don't create space, or we don't create the opportunity to see that we already have those things. So, you know, if you're looking at, you want a fancy car because it'll give you status, well, say to yourself, do I have status? And right. It's funny, because if you go, well, I feel successful in my career. I'm actually doing really well. Gosh, you know, I just got promoted last week. And yeah, the car would be fun, but I don't need it for that reason. And what's funny is when you get really clear on these things, that's the self-awareness, having the conversation. Why? What does it mean to me? What is
Absolutely.
It going to bring me? What will I get? What will happen if I get that? And don't I already have it? Or can I get it? Can I have that experience a different way? And what's interesting is when you get clarity, oddly enough, most people, I realize I don't really need the Mercedes. And then what's funny is then I had this very similar thing happen. You know, I had a car, it was like a beater car. And I was like, God, I really want a new car. And like a year went by and I just couldn't get a new car. And I finally had the conversation. Why do I want a new car? I have two little kids. They're going to trash a new car.
Right.
And why do I need this? What is it going to bring to me? And I had the whole conversation. And a week later, my car literally blew up. And 2 days after that, I had a brand new car.
Wow.
And it was such, because I had gotten the clarity and the awareness of, I let go of, I thought there was a piece of me that thought having a nicer car would make me look better to other people.
Yes.
And when I finally let go of, like, you know, the reality is I don't really care. I got other stuff going on. And the minute I let that go, boom, new car. So it's nice. It's having that kind of conversation with yourself. That's real self-awareness. Because you can say, God, I have to be honest. I only wanted a nice new fancy car because I thought it would make me look cooler. Well, why do I need to look cooler? And I had that whole conversation with myself.
Yes.
And then I got clear on it. And then I realized I'm cool already. You know?
So there you go. I know for me that the whole big house thing, I right away think, oh my gosh, cleaning it? No, thank you. I don't want to have a house that takes me hours to vacuum or hours to dust. And
right.
So that's for me right away where I go is, do I really want that? And it's not to say that I have never put a big house on my vision board, right? You do get caught up in it. But I love what you're saying, which is take that moment and ask yourself, why? What is it about this that is so important to me?
Well, I think that if you could look at life, see, we've been programmed to look at life as sort of a collection device. We go through life, you're supposed to get this, you're supposed to get that, you're supposed to have a car, a house, a family, a dog. These things, like, it's like a video game where we're like going through the mazes until we collect all the items, right?
Right.
And I let that go and decided my life was going to be more about, what kind of experience do I want to have?
Yes.
And so when you have a conversation of, I want to have an experience of driving fast and in a smooth ride. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. And having that experience isn't going to change who I am. It's not going to change my value for myself or my love for myself or whether or not I care what other people think about me in my fast car. When you can get that clear, it's like, I just want to have that experience. Then I go, wow, I can save myself a lot of money because I can just go rent a car for a day and do that.
Yes.
Or I can say, no, I love driving fast every day. And then that's okay because you've gotten the clarity on it. Whereas if you're struggling to buy that car because there's some hidden belief system within you that says, tells you, if you don't have this car, you don't have value, then you might get the car, but you're still going to have the feeling. So
yes.
For me, it's about, what do I want to experience? And then there's a gazillion ways to experience it. So I opened up to possibility because it's like, gosh, I really want to experience driving in a fast car. Well, I'll just call my friend and go ride in their car, or I'll rent a car, as opposed to this, oh, I've got to spend all this money to buy a car. Is that making sense? Like, the whole, you open up to possibilities when you look for why is it that you want this? What's the experience you're looking for? And how are you not getting it into your life right now? And what could you do today in this moment to have that experience without going into debt or without trying to please or be approved of?
Yes. And so what I'd love to do, because this is part of the Mother's Day marathon, and so I really want tips for moms. I'm thinking, okay, let's take this idea and let's look at it. Okay, so who do I want to be in that relationship with my kids? Mm. You know, what's the experience that I really want to create there? Mm. And how am I going to do that? That idea, I just have to say, that idea, it comes up again and again in your book, It Came Out of My Vagina. Now what? Mm-hmm. I haven't finished reading it yet, but I know that it kind of comes up. What do you need to really create the experience that you want to have? So should we do that? Can we go there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So do you want to start us out?
Sure. you kind of went in and out there for a second. So I was like, is she going to say something? I didn't want to jump on you there. You know, again, I have two kids. Like I said, my mom had six kids. She was amazing because I don't know how we all survived. I think for me as a mom, I realized, thankfully, relatively early on with my daughter, that I was I needed to be okay with being a terrible mother. In another book that I wrote called Tipping Sacred Cows, I have this game that I play. Because see, most of what's going on with us as moms is fear. We're afraid that we're going to like damage these little beings, right?
Right.
And we're shocked that we've been given the, I'm shocked I was given the responsibility of raising children. I'm like, I can't even believe that I got this gig. But so there's a constant fear that you're going to make a mistake. And so in my other book, Tipping Sacred Cows, at the end, I have this game called My Life Sucks, which is basically the equivalent of think about what's going to happen if you epically fail. Because most of the time, see, again, I go back to our brains. Our brains and our imaginations are amazing. And yes. In a nanosecond, we can get mad at our kid, yell at them, and then feel all this guilt and shame and think, oh, I've just made my son a serial killer or my daughter depressed, right? Like right. Our brains do that. They beat us up and they're so quick to the, oh, you're a failure. And so get to the place where you can have a lot of acceptance in yourself and a lot of patience for yourself and a lot of realization that nobody is standing there saying, here's how you do this moment with your kid. And right. When you can get to that place where I've realized in My Life Sucks, you basically list all the ways in which your life is failing. You're like, I'm failing because I'm this. I'm failing because I'm that. And you get really comfortable because it's almost hilarious. Because then you look at your life and you go, wow, but there's all this other stuff that's really amazing. So when you can just be really comfortable there, then what happens is your kids get more comfortable because you're more comfortable. You know, as my kids got older, you know, I would have a situation with my daughter. And I handled it badly. And then I would go back to her, even when she was like 4 or 5, I would go, you know, I handled that badly. I reacted from a really emotional place of frustration or from anger because I was frustrated with you in the moment. And I reacted from there and I apologize for that. And so she got to realize that, oh, mom isn't so perfect. So yes. I don't have to be so perfect. And it kind of like, it chills out. I mean, I have a 13-year-old, she's about to be 14. And, you know, we're in this power struggle a lot lately. And I've found that even now, you know, I'll react to something she's done, but my ability to go back to her and go, God, I just so reacted there. That was intense. And so I'm apologizing for my reaction. I'm not letting her off the hook for her behavior, right. But it also gives her the space and the opinion to go, wow, I'm totally reacting. And it's just that ease, that's that permission of just like, if you're going to fail, and the chances are, I mean, the whole message of the book, the vagina book, as we call it, I put that book together because when I first had my daughter, oh my God, I read so many books and I thought I'm doomed. I can't figure all this stuff out. This is insanity. Yes. And I have a funny story from my mom. When my daughter was 8 months old, she was a big baby. I don't know how I make these gigantic. My son was almost 11 pounds at birth. And my daughter was 9 pounds at birth. And so she's like 8 months old and she's supposed to be rolling over, right? Like they're supposed to
right.
get up and do the rolling over thing. And I say to my mom, I'm like, and this was kind of back when autism was just really becoming out there and everybody thought their child was autistic, right? Mm-hmm. And no matter what happened. And so I call my mom and I'm like, Mom, something's wrong with Alora. She's supposed to be rolling over. She's not doing this. She's not doing this. I'm wondering if I should get her checked. What do you think? And my mom says, Betsy, you need to sit down. I think it's time I tell you something. And I said, what? And she said, Alora didn't read that book.
The parenting book.
Yeah. Alora does not know that she's supposed to be rolling over. She'll roll over when she's ready. Now, yes, of course, you need to pay attention. But the book, the vagina book, is sort of a counter to that. It's sort of like because we read these books, we read these blogs, we watch these videos, and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be like that. And the reality is a big part of the vagina book is also about conscious parenting. It's, yes. Be present with your kid. And when you're connected and present and with them, they're gonna lead you more than you need to lead them.
And, absolutely.
And that's a powerful place to be. So that's why we wrote the book with the and all the funny stories, because we wanted moms to know that guess what? Every day I fail at least 100 times. Every day.
Yeah. And it's okay to make mistakes. You just need to take responsibility when you make a mistake. And that's what you were doing. So yeah. I love that. And you know, kids have an incredible capacity for forgiveness.
Yes.
So we can use that to our advantage, and we can, you know, just let them know that, hey, I am human and I'm going to mess this up and I'm going to do the best I can to fix my part in it. But yeah, that's just the way it is.
Well, and you're also teaching emotional intelligence because—
Absolutely.
Because when you can say, when I can go to my kid and say, I was really frustrated and I reacted out of frustration and anger. I let that emotion control my reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I named my emotions. I defined them. I was frustrated. Right. I was angry. I was sad. And eventually, if you do that enough with your kids, they have the ability to communicate their emotions back to you.
Yes.
So that then a lot of the stress and anxiety of parenting goes away because you have a way to communicate with each other. And most of the time, that's where struggle happens with parents and kids. It's because
absolutely
there's not an ability to listen and communicate.
Yes. Now, Betsy, I have to cut you off and I'm very sad that I have to do that. But we are out of time. This time just zoomed on by. So if our listeners like me want more of Betsy's words of wisdom, there are plenty of ways that you can do that. And on the blog that is attached to this interview, you will find them all there. So she has a radical dating series that you can find at allrightnow.com. Her website is betsychassee.net, which Chassee is C-H-A-S-S-E. Just in case you're trying to Google her. She's got all those films. She's got those books. I strongly recommend that if you are a new mom or about to have a child, that you pick up a copy of It Came Out of My Vagina, Now What? And just enjoy looking at all the incredible resources this woman has, because they are wonderful. I love the sense of humor. So Betsy, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us with this Mother's Day marathon. I really appreciate all that you shared. Thank you to our listeners for tuning into our show. I appreciate your time, your enthusiasm, and especially your efforts in spreading the word. A real quick reminder, if you haven't been to my website yet, empoweringenergy.com, you want to get there before the end of May to pick up your Mother's Day gift. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Betsy Chassee, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.